Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 84 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute Daily Podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Thank you, Rob. Great to be here.
Yeah, what the hell is that? So, minute 84 begins with the men trying to understand what's going on, and ends with Robin giving his perception of everything that's going on. So we ended things yesterday with the men somehow jumping from 8 to 7 men as they walk through a field. And they get to the edge of a forest and come across something that looks very strange. And it turns out it's three bodies that are just that have been lying there for the last few days. You know, we know that now is approximately the 10th, 11th, or 12th of June. So it's been anywhere between 4 to 6 days since the beach landing. We don't know what day these soldiers were killed or anything like that. But,
it's long enough that we can hear the flies buzzing around them. That's for sure.
You know, I was so impressed with the sound, the sound design here, that you could actually hear that. You know, they specifically want us to hear it, and they did an amazing job of that.
I mean, it's weird to say, but it actually does kind of add another level to just the grotesque nature of what we're seeing there. Because I mean, it's one thing to see them all mangled and such, like we said last time, that you can hardly kind of distinguish, what parts of the body are what. But then add to it that you hear the flies, hovering around there. It just kind of adds an extra shiver going down your spine,
And I think that's the point. The point of this movie is to allow the viewer to feel the experience of what the men of the greatest generation went through. Mentioned at the beginning of the week about your grandfather and stuff like that. Spielberg wanted the men from then to they themselves experience it, but also pass on to the rest of us, their experience. And, what better way to do it than in the film? I mean, I always love the fact that, James Doohan, Scotty from Star Trek, was a, World War II veteran who fought at Normandy. And, he said that this was one of the most profound movies that he's ever seen about that. It really brought him back. And I mean, there were there's stories of veterans that got up and walked out in the middle because it was so real for them.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't get the same reaction that The Longest Day did. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the type of reaction The Longest Day got. I mean, Eisenhower walked out of it because he basically said, "This is all complete crap," and just walked out.
I mean, the Longest Day, I mean, we both mentioned that we both enjoy that film, but it's very much a, that kind of that Hollywood take on things. It's very tidy, shall we say. It's definitely not presenting things in the same way that this movie is.
I mean, one of the things that I love, my favorite trivia piece about the Longest Day is that the director apparently directed more people than the number of men that actually fought on the
I believe it. Yeah.
That to me is just amazing. That this was, it came out in 1962, so it came out 18 years later, and they actually had more people, on the set than there really was during the original invasion. So, that in itself is just pretty amazing. So the men are standing there trying to figure out what's going on with these bodies. And then Horvath goes, "What the hell is that?" And So the men are standing there trying to figure out what it is, and we actually get about 20, 23, 24 seconds of silence, as they're looking around trying to figure out what's going on, and they then start moving into the wooded area a little bit. Miller moves pretty quickly with Mike right behind him, just to check out what's going on. And again, it gives us a great impression as to what is the type of fear that's going through these men's minds. It's the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to be happening here and stuff like that. And then
Well, I
Miller.
mean, it's another moment too that's, kind of, just a different kind of approach than a lot of the rest of the movie. I mean, watching it, I was thinking, oh, with the whole, they're kind of in this little wooded area and stuff. It feels almost more like a Vietnam movie than what we had been having, previously, with the tone that was set by the invasion on the beach and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm not saying that it's not accurate. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of different things they were contending with in this region, but it has a different feel than what we've had up to this point.
That's true. And they at this point, Miller and Horvath hide behind like this log as they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Miller takes out his binoculars, and we get a shot, and we see a big radar dish, which is a humongous radar dish, which.
Yeah, I mean it threw me first seeing it. I'm going, what is that thing? I mean, very much like the reaction of the characters in the movie. I'm like, I can't tell what I'm looking at here.
Dude, it even looks like the radar dish might be like a little broken on one side, or maybe it's
Yeah.
just not really sure. And then Mike says, "What the hell is that?" And Miller goes, "A radar sight. It's got to be out of action." And he continues looking through the binoculars and says, "Look like we got something in there. Sandbag bunker right under the station. You see it?" And then Mike looks through the binoculars and also says, "Yeah, that's my guess too." So, it's another way for them to, give us a little bit of a way station along this journey to finding, the finding the real Ryan. And, we'll see over the next few days and next week, or we'll see over today and tomorrow and next week, what is really going on here and stuff like that. But, I like the way that they give us this small little snippet where Miller is just telling us what it is. It's a radar sight. Nowadays everyone knows what a radar sight theoretically is. But I guess maybe back in 1944, not everyone completely understood what it was and what it does.
Sure, yeah.
At this point the shot changes and we see the men discussing the situation. And they start having a continue conversation where Upham goes, "Well, what is it?" And then Horvath goes, "Well, it's a machine gun, probably an MG-42." He goes, "Jesus, is that what they what got those guys?" And then Mellish pipes up and goes, "Maybe one of them's our boy." Mellish says, "No, their patches are 82nd, so your luck's not that good." Which is great because it shows that Miller. Pays attention to detail. They're looking for someone from the 101st. So if he's wearing a uniform from the 82nd Airborne, it's probably not who and what we're looking for at this point.
Is this the moment where the cows are in the background? They're all sitting there talking, and I want to say there's cows in the back.
There's more than just cows. There's also big piles of cow pies. Let's put it that way.
Again, I mean, it's strange to think about, that this is like, just there's a war going on, but here they're traipsing through people's farms, and there's the cows. They're just still out there grazing. They don't care that there's a war going on. It's just another day in the life of a cow.
Right. It's true. And it makes sense. Because I mean they're showing that things still were going up.
Yeah, Maybe one of them was the, you know, remember in Top Secret, the people disguised themselves as a cow. Maybe that's one of them.
Yeah, it would just be, where are those bulls?
Yeah.
Stay clear of those bulls. And at this point, Ryben then starts talking. And he goes, yeah, well, I don't know how fast the rest of you Bettys are, but I'm thinking we detour this way quick and quiet. The crowds will never even know we're here. Now, what jumped out at me when I was looking at this particular, you know, phrase from him, he mentions the rest of you Bettys. Do you have any idea what a Betty is?
I mean, I've heard the term thrown around a lot, but I guess I'm not exactly sure what they're referencing.
Because it to me, it's actually very funny that he's calling them Bettys. Because I looked it up. A Betty is basically a slang phrase for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Generally reserved for attractive girls, right? Then in like the 1980s, the term changed. It started referring to girls who skate or surf or, you know, a girl that does stuff that boys do. You know, it's sort of like a tomboy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back in the 40s, if he's calling them Bettys, it makes it sound like he's calling them either like sissies or girls, right, or things like that. But what's really funny is that his suggestion here is, let's find a way to avoid having to fight, which, you know, it goes against everything else. It's basically, you know, if he's trying to seem macho and calling them Bettys,
mm-hmm. Why would it be a big deal to fight them? Yeah.
He should be the guy who's saying, let's go fight them.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's I mean, I'm personally, I like Ryben. I like the character.
He's so Brooklyn. I mean, he's just so Brooklyn. It's almost over the top how Brooklyn he is.
Okay, but that's Ed Burns for you.
Yeah. It's funny that you called him Ed Burns, because I kept doing that in my mind too. But, you know, he's credited as Edward Burns. But my mind, I kept saying Ed Burns again, because of the Brooklyn thing. But I'm like, that's not Ed Burns. Ed Burns is somebody different. Ed Burns is the kooky, lend me your comb guy, you know?
Is he? I was thinking of Ed Binns, you know, who's one of the guys who's your men.
Well, Edward Burns, of course, the guy in this movie. Yes, it's accurate to call him Ed Burns, but I was like, I know the name Ed Burns as something else. And so I was like looking it up, and yeah, Ed spelled E-D-D, Burns spelled B-Y-R-N-E-S is, you know, an actor from the 60s. And he famously played the character of Kooky, which I'm trying to remember what show that was on. Some 60s TV show, but and he did this song called Kooky Kooky Lend Me Your Comb, which is kind of a novelty hit from the time. So when I hear Ed Burns, that's what I always think of.
He was on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour also. There you go, Kooky Kooky Lend Me Your Comb. You're right, with Connie Stevens.
Wow. Yeah.
He was the star of the TV show.
Strange little song. 77 Sunset Strip. Okay, yeah, that's it.
He was Vince Fontaine in the movie Grease.
In Grease, yes, yeah.
Oh, wow, and his full name was Edward Byrne Breitenberger. Interesting.
I just always say, oh, that's Kooky. That's how I remember him. That's Kooky.
Interesting. And apparently he had a very tragic death. Tragic death was that you know, he died of natural causes at the age of 87. You know, we all aspire to live at least that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why it started by saying that there was a thing on saying about his his tragic death. Maybe just the idea that it's tragic that he died. You know, not not that he died in a tragic way. Interesting. Right. So again, the phrase Betty just doesn't, you know, I also think of the idea of the of Betty versus Veronica type of thing.
Yeah,
Yeah, the
or
Terrence.
Betty Boop.
Wasn't that a Tarantino thing where he talks about the difference between Betty and Veronica?
Oh, I
Or
don't
were they,
remember.
or was that something? It was either Kevin Smith or Quentin Tarantino that talked about the Betty versus Veronica thing. No, maybe it was in Pulp Fiction. That's probably also another blind spot on me.
I was just trying to look and see if I could find a reference to either Quentin Tarantino or Kevin Smith talking about Betty and Veronica, and I'm not finding it. But it definitely sounds like something one of the two of them would have done at some point.
I remember there being a question about that, where they said, "Are you a Betty or a Veronica?"
Well, I mean that's the question out there always is, which one would you want to date? Would you want to date Betty or Veronica?
So, okay, it is something that's from. I was correct. I was right. It is Pulp Fiction, but it's in a deleted scene,
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
where basically. Mia was interviewing Vincent, and she asked him, would you rather date Betty or Veronica? That's what it comes down
Okay.
to. Yeah. Who would you prefer, Betty or Veronica?
I mean, I'd probably go Betty, I think. Veronica always seemed a bit more obsessed with money and material things. So, being someone who never had tons of that, I'd probably go more with Betty.
Okay. Yeah. You see, for me, I like Betty's personality better, but I think Veronica is better looking.
I guess it's, considering they pretty much have the same face the way they're drawn, I guess it's it's a blonde or brunette question, isn't it?
Apparently. But yeah, it's again, it's an interesting phrase for him to just call them Bettys, which again. If anyone out there knows the actual, what he might be referring to, feel free to let us know.
Well, and it's one of those things that kind of fits that whole Brooklyn attitude of the character. It sounds like a term that they would have thrown around in the neighborhood or something like that.
That's true. There's something to that. Okay, and that's all I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think we're good.
All right. So every Thursday we have a game, and it's actually funny. We were just talking about Pulp Fiction because the game is related to Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
The name of the game is Say What? Say What Thursday. Okay. Have you seen Pulp
Okay.
Fiction or not?
Yes,
No.
yes.
Okay.
I was just thinking it's been a while since I rewatched it, but I have seen it.
When he says to Brad, he says, say what again?
Yes.
So
Say what again?
that's right. Exactly. And so here it's Say What Thursday. So the idea behind this game is that there are a lot of well-known actors in this movie. And so what I decided to do is I'm going to take a quote from one of the actors in the movie, and I will tell you the quote and the year that it came out, and you have to tell me what movie it is that this quote comes from. I mean, if you know the
Oh,
character,
okay.
that would be great too. But obviously, because there are so many different people here, so every week I choose three different actors that could be the possibility. Okay, so for
Okay.
you, the possibility that these quotes come from are either Ted Danson, Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon. Okay, so
Okay.
it's going to be one of those three. Okay,
All right.
it could be all of them. It could be one of them. It won't be none of them. That's for sure.
Oh, so it's not like, you're giving me three and each one of them did one of these. You could be giving me two dances here.
I'm going to give you five. So
Oh, you're
yes.
giving me five. Okay, I gotcha. All right.
You have five quotes. I will tell you the year and I'll tell you the quote. And obviously, if
Okay.
you want any type of lifeline, I will give lifelines also.
All right, all right.
Okay. All right. So we will start with the first one. We'll start off pretty easy for you. From 1995. Okay. And again, it could be Ted Danson, Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon. Okay. And the quote is, "It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks."
That's Tom Hanks. That's from Toy Story.
That is correct. Excellent.
Let's keep them on that level. I like that.
Okay. No problem. All right. The next one. Also from 1995. Let's see how he likes this. I'm sick and tired of the entire Western world knowing how my kidneys are functioning.
That would also be Tom Hanks. I'm thinking that's Apollo 13.
And you would be correct.
All
Very good.
right.
All right. The next one from 1984. Okay. I am not a fish. How many times do I have to tell you people that? So can you please just let me out of here? Please, people.
That is also Tom Hanks. That is from Splash. Talking to
Excellent.
Eugene Levy, if I remember correctly, I think.
That is correct. You're doing great. You're doing great.
I like this.
All right. The next one. Remember, it could be Ted Danson, Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon. 1993. What do I love most about the law? It's that every now and again, not often, but occasionally, you get to be part of the justice being done. That really is quite a thrill when that happens.
So I'm not as sure, but I'm thinking that is also Tom Hanks, and I'm thinking it's Philadelphia.
And you would be correct.
Okay.
Right. And the final one from 2000. It's again, it could be Matt Damon, Tom Hanks, or Ted Danson. I couldn't even kill myself the way I wanted to. I had power over nothing.
This I don't know. It doesn't sound like a Tom Hanks one. 2000 was the year. I'm taking a wild guess and just gonna say it's Matt Damon.
It is not Matt Damon.
Okay. Is it Tom Hanks?
Want the quote again?
Yeah, give me the code again.
I couldn't even kill myself the way I wanted to. I had power over nothing.
I still don't have anything clear. It's probably obvious, but I'm just gonna guess Tom Hanks.
And you would be correct. Now you have to tell me what movie it is.
I don't know. I don't know what movie that is. Oh my
Well,
gosh.
think about it. Tom Hanks, and it came out in 2000.
Oh, is it Castaway?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Oh, now that makes sense. Okay.
You see, you did really well.
Yeah, until the end. I did all right. I'm happy with that.
Only Tom Hanks for you. Because in the past, I've done some of them, and by the end, someone said, "Oh, it must be the third guy." The one that wasn't me.
Yeah.
I started switching things up a little bit,
Well, and I'm thinking dancing. I mean, there's not that much to I mean, what are you gonna pull something from Made in America for Ted Danson. I'm like, I saw that movie once and that was it.
Exactly. Excellent. All right. So, Todd, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
Of course. So the podcast is called The Forgotten Filmcast. So you can find that wherever you find your podcasts. The blog is Forgotten Films. It's at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. And then you can find me on X at Forgotten Films. It's films with a Z. And you can search for me. I am on Letterboxd as well.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movearoundminute@movearound.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can also find me on Letterboxd. You can find me on X/Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Todd, you want to come back again tomorrow to find out if anyone's going to listen to Robin or not?
Yeah,
Any
well.
Betty's going to be listening to this, Veronica?
Yep, we'll do it one more time.
All right, excellent. So until tomorrow, Ernest.
Earn this.
My solitude.